see that a two-way sealing ring, even though it turns out in action to be equivalent in function, way, and result, whether you could have foreseen and predicted that, that was the difference. I was concerned that the district court had not, perhaps, I don't really know, this is all so close on the facts, but these are subtle distinctions that maybe only a patent lawyer can figure out.
The Supreme Court said if you know at the time of the amendment they're equivalent, you have a responsibility to claim both, because the public has to rely upon what your claim is.
If and you can foresee they're equivalent.
That's exactly what he said at trial. He said, my patent says they're equivalent. That meant he knew at the time of his patent that they were equivalent and that he had to not narrow his claim.
No, you're saying he testified that he foresaw, which is different.
No,
which is the issue now before
us. No, he didn't testify he foresaw. He said the Stoll patent itself tells you magnetizable and non-magnetizable are equivalent. The Stoll patent itself tells you that one ring, two ring are equivalent. The Supreme Court says if you know at the time you're getting your patent that both are equivalent, you can't narrow your claim down to one and then come back at a later date and say you want protection on the specific thing you excluded from the claim.
Where's that testimony in here? In the appendix.
The testimony
you just referred to. Where is it in the appendix?
This is really the Supreme Court decision.
No, but you're talking about what the guy testified to.
Let me get it for you. I'm sorry, I misunderstood your question. The testimony is at A17.
A17?
Right. And I can show it.
This is the 1994 testimony?
Yes. Dr. Wolf was not persuasive. I'm sorry, I need to go on. Dr. Wolf, A17. This is right at the top line. Dr. Wolf was not persuasive in his testimony that a two-way sealing ring would have rendered the Festo device a failure. Indeed, he testified to the contrary in the 1994 trial, and then she quotes what he said.
The question is the citation to the testimony in 94.
Is the 94 testimony in the appendix?
Yes, it's right here.
No. This is the court's opinion. Is the testimony set forth in the appendix?
I believe it is. Just a minute, I'll have it.
I mean, you've gone on and on representing to us what the testimony was in the 1994 trial. I'm not sure it's in the appendix, and I wonder why not, if it's so important.
I think I may have it. I'm sorry, I don't.
Let's resolve it this way.
I can give you the original testimony as to the magnetizable, and that was the one that I just read to you. This was the actual piece of evidence from trial.
What's this record site?
A1397.
And that has to do with the sleeve. Now, how about with the rings?
The rings I'm trying to find, but A1397 is where he says that the patent says that you can use either, which is back at the time of the amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And let me see if I can find you the other one.
While you're looking for that, perhaps we'll give Mr. Hoffman his rebuttal time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Neustadt. Mr. Hoffman, 5 minutes max for rebuttal. Rebuttal, Mr. Hoffman?
Oh, I'm sorry.
5 minutes.
The last citation of Mr. Neustadt, so that's from a pretrial submission. It's not trial testimony of the 1397 thing. As to Mr. Wolf's testimony at trial, when you start the patent, if you look at the patent, you'll see the patent doesn't say you can use one ring, one sealing ring.
Let me interrupt you. Do we have the full testimony from the 94 trial of Dr. Wolf in the appendix? Yes or no?
No, Your Honor.
Okay. Do we have the full testimony of Dr. Pardon me, he didn't testify in 94, so it's irrelevant as to Schroeder, I guess.
He testified.
Do we have his full testimony?
No.
Same thing. We have truncated transcripts for both witnesses in terms of what they said in 1994.
Yes.
Now, with respect to what they said recently before Judge Sarris, do we have the full testimony of Dr. Wolf?
Yes, you do.
The full testimony?
Yes. No?
Only the cited pages. They're not allowed to file.
The written testimony, you have the full.
All right. Let's I'm asking both counsel to provide us within a week with the full testimony of both witnesses at the original trial in 1994 and at the proceeding recently before Judge Sarris.
I wonder if that was filed initially on the first appeal. Well, anyway, this is
needed from there. All right, please proceed with your rebuttal.
Okay. Several comments regarding you're going to take a look at the trial testimony of Dr. Wolf and the testimony on this remand. For example, the patent itself never says you can use one seal instead of two. The only disclosure in the patent is double sealing rings, double guide rings. Dr. Wolf was saying for purposes of infringement at a later time when they took a ring off, he could tell from the patent that if dirt leaked past a sealing ring, or if the sealing ring wasn't there, it would be stopped by the guide ring. So from the standpoint of whether or not it wiped, guide, and seal, which was the requirement of the equivalency test at trial, he was able to say, yes, the patent teaches me that you can wipe away dirt with the guide ring if the seal ring isn't there. Therefore, all the functions are carried out. So that's what he's referring to there. But if you read the testimony, you'll see that he was talking about the test of infringement and what was happening at that time. And then in the remand situation here, he's talking about a question of foreseeability, which was not, of course, a question at trial. It didn't exist.
Right. Well, we'll read the testimony. And that's exactly why we're asking for all of the testimony at both proceedings of both of these witnesses. We'll read the testimony, so there's no need to spend time saying it says this or says that. We'll read it or we'll see what it says.
Can I understand just the context here quickly?
Sure.
You have to win on both the aluminum sleeve and sealing ring points to win this case, right? If
that's
you lose
correct.
On either one of them,
that's
you
correct.
Win. Right.
That's
okay.
Judge Sarris, there was some discussion of large gap and small gap devices. There was a lot of testimony. We asked for reconsideration, and she did. She says Presto correctly points out that the German patent was a large gap device and so forth and so on. So she eventually got that between large gap and small gap to some extent as to the significance. The one thing that got confused was an initial decision, she says, based on their argument, that a one two-way sealing ring is shown, but in all of the prior art, there was no single or asymmetrical arrangement of rings. It was always a sealing ring at each end or some structure which was symmetrical. There's nothing in the prior art. Now, the earlier prior art is all Stoll stuff. All his early work and his early patents when he was struggling with large gap device, with wheels on the outside, and all kinds of problems, which his testimony showed he was having difficulty in trying to adapt the magnets to a product like this. This product is really a small, compact product, and any time you're dealing with that type of a structure, you're running into very tight tolerances, very difficult concerns, and typically if you have a cylinder like this, which moves from end to end, in history the forces are all longitudinal. Now all of a sudden you're dealing with a cylinder in which the dominating forces are gripping magnetic forces, which are very powerful. So there were a lot of difficulties. So he went through that at trial at length, and the trial was long. And the trial had substantial evidence. Any other
quick rebuttal points with time?
I wanted to say that there was that the shielding was clearly shown at trial by evidence. It was a 300% reduction, which was recognized in Judge Newman's decision on appeal and were affirmed. There's a lot of evidence on that. It wasn't an argument that there was no shielding. There was plenty of shielding. It was proven, and there was a lot of evidence on that. So I don't want to belabor that, but you see that in the record. Mr. Neustadt kept saying over and over again, this is a clear and convincing standard here for this appeal. I don't think so. I still believe it's a de novo review by this court, similar to a Markman-type proceeding, and I think here it's your opportunity to review the evidence that was submitted and see whether you agree with Judge Saris or not as to whether it was adequate for overcoming the presumption. We think it was.
Is that it?
I think that's
very well. We thank both counsel, and we will take the case under advisement and look for the requested transcripts within a week. Thank you kindly.
The Honorable Court is adjourned until this afternoon, 2 p.m.